From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace. And the next day, we went to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony, and the leading city of that district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us.
Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It'll be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will make them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or towards daybreak. But understand this: if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him.
My sermon title is Let's Talk About Lydia and Not Paul. We've heard a lot about Paul, and I will mention him, of course, but my focus today is on Lydia. And why am I focusing on Lydia? Well, first, because she is the first person, and she's female, living in Europe to be converted and baptized a Christian. She is the first European Christian. And she's the first European Christian who founds a house group in her own home. And the second reason is because we have many similarities with Lydia. We too are called to be baptized. We too are called to follow God. And we too are called to have a heart open to God. Our destinies may be different, but we are all called on a spiritual path. Now, to keep you on your toes, we have a little quiz. As I go along, I'll ask questions, and there are prizes. Now, we only have one child. We only have Summer as one child here. But I'm wondering if Summer might help us in quite a few ways, actually. Thank you very much. Anyhow, could you give out the prizes? We'll just ask everybody. The idea is that it's summer. You probably want to be in the garden, try and keep awake. So I'll get on with it. So let's talk about Lydia. There are three descriptions of Lydia in this passage: Lydia the businesswoman, Lydia the worshipper of God, and Lydia the baptized Christian. So let's start with Lydia the businesswoman. So the first thing to note about her is that her name Lydia actually refers to the place that she comes from. She comes from an area, a province in Asia Minor called Lydia, which is in the west of what is modern day Turkey. Not only that, she comes from a particular village, it's a city, it's a big city called Thyatira. Now, it's not mentioned again in Acts, but it is mentioned in another book of the Bible. So the first question is, which book of the Bible is Thyatira mentioned in? Come on, David. Which? Exactly, Price of Revelations, exactly. It's one of the seven churches in the book of Revelations. So I won't go any more about that, but have a look. It's one of the seven churches. But she's moved. She's not living in Thyatira now. She has moved from Asia Minor, from Turkey, into Greece, which is called Macedonia in our passage. And she's moved to a city called Philippi. So the next question is, for those adults, why is Philippi important in classical history? What do we know about something important that happened not that long before? Right, Richard.
Well,
Exactly. Mark Antony, so that's 42 BC, Mark Antony and Octavian beat Brutus and Cassius. Very good.
I clearly missed that world history.
So we're doing well. So she is a dealer in purple cloth. Now, presumably, she's been sent as an agent from Thyatira, which is a well-known place for its purple dye. It's also developed a dye from a plant called a madder plant. Anyone heard of a madder plant? No, well, nor had I. But anyway, you can buy them online, by the way, and they make a very good dye. Not as beautiful as the Tyrian purple dye. But anyway, so she is a dealer in purple dye, and purple is a very prestigious colour. I'm glad to say we have some people who, in honour of Lydia today, are wearing purple. We have Louise over there, and we have Charlie over here. So thank you very much for supporting the sermon. So as in preparation for this sermon, I thought I would go to my dealer of purple dye in Whitstable. And I wonder if someone could come and help me again. Can you come help me? Just to show how daft I am, I walked into the shop selling the purple cloth and I said, I'm doing something on Lydia and I want some pieces of purple cloth that I can cut up. Could you cut up some purple cloth for me? And she said, what a good idea. Yes, of course, I'd be delighted to. Could you think, I'll take the chocolate, I promise I won't eat it. There should be enough strip for pretty much everybody. Do you think you could, if you go around that side, and then Louise, since you're so beautifully attired, if you'd all like to have a piece of purple cloth from Whitstable, not from Thyatira. So if you go around, just give each person a little piece of cloth. And as I had this conversation with her, she said to me, you know, I don't go to church now. I used to. I like the current vicar, but the last vicar I really, really liked. I really bonded with him. And we used to smoke a cigarette together after church. So, and she said, I said, how much do I owe? And she said, this is my gift to you as part of the service. So I'd like to thank the dealer of purple cloth in Whitstable. So as you're holding the purple cloth, just think of Lydia, think of the real beauty of this material and the significance of the colour. And perhaps just think also, this is her business. What's your business in life? It, you know, it may be your day job, it may be what you do at home. What's important to you? Lydia is also the head of her household, which, as I'm sure you'll be aware, in classical times was a fairly unusual situation. Maybe she was a widow. We don't really know. Lots of assumptions, presumptions. But she was clearly successful because she owned a house, and not just a house. I mean, a house that's big enough to have a household in. So that's lots of people working in the household, in the business. And it's big enough for her to say without any hesitation, Paul and your three friends, come and stay with me, which is, I think it must have been a really important house. So she's a successful, independent businesswoman. So just to recap, where does Lydia live? Philippi. Okay. And what does she sell? And what's her favorite color? Grape. So let's talk about Lydia, a worshipper of God. Now, Lydia was a Gentile, but she believed and she behaved like a Jew, but she hadn't become a Jew. Very likely, I think, she would have met and been influenced by the Jewish community living in Thyatira at the time, before she came to Philippi. Somebody, somewhere, had put an idea into her head. Somebody had taught her about the God, the one true living God. And that had prompted her to join the services on the Sabbath morning with other women. I presume they were other Jewish women and Gentile worshippers. We don't know. But she attends a service, a meeting at a place of prayer. So I thought I would show you a little place of prayer. I don't know if any of you know what this is. Maybe you've got one at home. Right, this is a prayer stool. Now, regrettably, I'm not going to give you a demonstration of how you sit on it. I don't know if anybody is. No, Louise is nodding. I'm not going to demonstrate. But the idea is that you sit on it, Okay, and it is actually remarkably comfortable. I can no longer put my feet underneath, but I can sit with cross leg. And what it does is it keeps your spine really straight, and it's a real help to prayer. So you might like to buy one, they're not that expensive. So this is our place of prayer. So Lydia comes in all her finery. I expect she wears purple on the Sabbath. She comes, there she's Lydia sitting. There's a house of prayer. She prays. And I'm sure they sang psalms, just like we did. We've just sung Psalm 23. She'd have sung Psalm 23. We're just like Lydia. And she listened. It seems to be quite possible that, although it was all women on that occasion, that there were occasions when men would come and preach or teach to them. What I don't know, maybe our theologians can tell me, is would they, as women, would they have had possession of a scroll of psalms or Torah? They wouldn't, would they? No. Sorry? Unless they're really rich, which Lydia was. You just never know. Lydia must have been able to read to do business. So anyway, we don't know, but they were worshiping God. She's a worshiper. She prays and she meets other women for fellowship. Now, into this place comes Paul with his three companions. Silas, who's come from Jerusalem, Timothy, a disciple from Lystra, a town in Turkey, Asia Minor. His mother is Jewish and his father is Greek. And I'm sure you've noted this, Luke. Because the language has changed. If you look at the beginning of verse 11, it says we. Luke has now joined the story. Luke is there. I think that's really exciting. He's an eyewitness to all of this. So they, as you remember last week, Paul had a vision of a man in Macedonia begging him to come over to Macedonia to help them. And as a result, Paul and his companions leave Macedonia and they come to Philippi, to Europe, to preach the gospel. So you can imagine their surprise, can't you? When they come to the place of prayer and there they don't find any men, they don't find a synagogue, but they find women worshipping. I think that's really cool, don't you? The dream is of a man in Macedonia, but what he finds is women, and in particular, Lydia. Now, a question to you, our theologians, why isn't there a synagogue? What do you need to have a synagogue? Not enough men. You need 10 men, apparently, in the community to form and build a synagogue. So, Luke doesn't describe, Paul sat down, they all sat down with the women to discuss the gospel. But Luke doesn't describe in this passage what Paul particularly said. But if you look back in Acts 13, we can get an idea of the sort of thing that he would be saying, which is that Jesus is the Son of God and he is the long-expected Savior. That Jesus was put to death on the cross by his own people, but God raised him from the dead and conquered death. And that Jesus has brought forgiveness of sins, freedom from sin, freedom from greed, freedom from envy, free to enjoy the love and the peace of God. So as Lydia listened to Paul with the other women, the Lord opened her heart to hear Paul's message. Now, I said I wanted to talk about Lydia and not Paul, and that's because Paul is the bringer of the message. He is not the hero. He is not the message. And for all his eloquence and oratory, it's not Paul that opened Lydia's heart. It is the Lord God. It is God who always initiates spiritual change. Other people come and give us hints, give us clues, help us on our journey. That's for sure. But it is God who moves us. And so we come to the last description of Lydia. Lydia is a Christian convert. She responded to Paul's message. And what happened then? Well, she was baptized. First, she was baptized into the faith in Jesus Christ by Paul, presumably by the river that was running by the place of prayer. Then she brought her whole household to be baptized, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And then she offered hospitality to Paul and his companions so persuasively that Paul accepted. And I'm sure he was glad that he did. Because at the end of the chapter, when he and Silas had been imprisoned, flogged, and finally released, they go back to Lydia's house. And there they meet with their brothers and sisters. Lydia has not been put off by the disturbing events that have happened surrounding Paul and Silas. Her house has become the focal point for new converts to the Christian faith, the first house church in Europe. And I think Lydia is brave, feisty, and a bit like Deborah Beadon in Dragon's Den. I don't think you mess with Lydia. She's loyal, she's faithful. So why is Lydia like us? Her spiritual journey is our spiritual journey. We are all called into a relationship with God. In the beginning, God created the whole world. His glory filled heaven and earth. And God made human beings a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor, says Psalm 8. We are made in God's image and we are made to be in relationship with him. That is our spiritual destiny. And it all begins with the movement of the Holy Spirit. God, through the Holy Spirit, is the first mover in the relationship. Through abundant outpouring of God's love and grace, God seeks connection and dialogue with the hearts of human beings. So how does this come about? In the beginning, the Holy Spirit sows a seed, just like Jesus' parable of the farmer sowing seeds in Matthew. Some hear the word and they respond, they're moved, there's some sort of response. Others, it means absolutely nothing at all. I think we're quite familiar with many people saying, why do you bother with religion? It's weak, it's the opium of the masses, that sort of thing. Really not interested. They go off. But for those of us like Lydia, who think, no, there really is something happening here. There's something important I need to understand. In this second stage, we're like the seed on rocky places. There's not much soil. And that's the bit I think we need to look at. How do we make sure there's enough soil to feed our roots? And that's where the gospel, I think, is what the gospel today is telling us. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. In other words, don't push off the relationship with God. Feed yourself, feed your roots, just like Lydia did. Go to a house of prayer, meet with others, read the scriptures, sing the Psalms. Now, it's easy to be distracted. We've all got a lot of things. It doesn't matter who you are. I'm retired and I seem to be busier than ever. Sometimes things don't seem relevant. Sometimes what we read in church doesn't seem comprehensible. Sometimes we may not feel good enough. But let me tell you, none of us are good enough. None of us have enough faith, but the Holy Spirit is there nudging each and every one of us all the time. Say, come on, spend time with me. Build this relationship. It's a relationship of two. It's not just God. It's not just us. It's God moving in us and moving us closer to him. And it's funny how often it's tragedies, isn't it, that moves us to a deeper understanding. But whatever moves us, whatever a catalyst it is, it's the Holy Spirit moving in us. Maybe you felt the power of the Holy Spirit moving you. I know that several years ago, well, about 30 years ago, I was in a very difficult situation. Things were very difficult. And I didn't know which way to turn. And I wasn't getting enough out of the services at church. And I really prayed hard. And extraordinary things happened, really extraordinary things happened. Doors opened. Started by phoning somebody up. I think it was about 10:30 at night. I just phoned her up rather late and said, I think I'd like to lead a Bible study in church, but I haven't the faintest idea how to do it or what to do. Oh, she said, I've got just the book for you. A quarter of an hour later, that book was shoved through my letterbox. And so it went on. You know, if you ask, if you seek, you really will find support. God uses people. I'm sure you've found in your life, there are people you thought they're angels. Where have they come from? Someone's just rescued me in an extraordinary way. This is the Holy Spirit moving in our lives, moving through people, moving through Paul. God longs for a relationship with us. He's calling each of us into the life of his kingdom where justice and mercy flow, where peacemakers are called the children of God, and where we are transformed day by day by leaving sin and self behind, where we believe in the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ. We believe in the forgiveness of sins, and we experience the grace of God. It is God who opens our hearts, but we need to come to meet God as well. And we do that by feeding and nurturing our souls. So be brave, like Lydia. Open your heart to meet your God who loved you before the world began. Lydia's spiritual life is a role model for us for coming to faith through prayer, through worship in a community, listening to the word of God. Faith as a seed that falls on good soil, watered by the word of God. But it is God who has chosen us first, and it is God who has brought you here today. Let us pray. God, we pray that you will open our hearts to you. We pray that we will receive your love, your forgiveness, and your power. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.